Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I believe I have a good word for you. We're in a brand new series called Church on the Rock Is. Church on the Rock Is for the month of February. And what we're doing is we're explaining who we are, why we're here, and how this church is to make a difference in your life. We're talking about our culture, our vision, our values. We're talking about why we're here, who we are, and how we're to make a difference in your life. I think that's very, very important that we understand that. 41 years ago, God led Kim and I to come here and plant Church on the Rock with 35 people. God wanted this church in this community. God ordained this church 41 years ago as the founding pastor. He wanted this church here. He ordained this church here. He sent us here to fulfill his will for our community. Yeah. Come on, don't patty cake. Are you excited about it? I'm excited about it. Yeah. You know, when we were in college in Southwestern University in Waxahachie, Texas, as we were going to school in the 70s, I had a friend that was going to school with us from our hometown, and he was an artist. And one day, he came up to me, and he said, you know, Dave, you know, I believe I have a picture. I've drawn a picture of what your church will look like someday. This is back in the 70s. Now, if I'm lying, I'm frying. This is back in the 70s. He showed me a picture that he had drawn up, and it was exactly the inside of the sanctuary. Exactly. It was exactly how not the outside, but the inside. He had drawn up in the 70s what the church someday, Kim and I would pastor, would look like. Back in the late 70s, Kim and I, as we were going to college, there was a church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's still there. It was downtown Minneapolis. It was called the Jesus People Church. And we went there to that church back in the 70s. I'd never been in a church like that before. It was full of all kinds of people of all ethnic background, all different colors, all different economics. I can still remember that I'm standing next to a guy, and he has his hands lifted in a three-piece suit with a Rolex watch. It was bling, bling. Boy, it was about to blind me. And I'm not lying. On the other side of me was a guy in sandals, shorts, and a T-shirt. I'd never been to a church like that. I grew up in Mayberry, Andy Griffin, and I'd never been to a church like that. And Kim and I, we saw that in the late 70s, and we said, that's the church we're going to pastor someday. It was just dropped in our spirit. You got to have a picture to go to the next level. You got to have a picture to keep moving forward. You got to have a picture to be persistent. You got to have a future to have power in the present. You got to have a future to have power in the present. You got to have a future. Do you have a future? You got to have a future. Don't give up. You got to have a future to have power in the present. So that's what you see today. After 41 years, a church of no other church like our church in the community, we've led the way. We've set the standard. We've held the bar. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful. And so I just want to talk to you because it's important that you know your culture at your house and your values and your core beliefs. It was our culture. See, culture trumps even vision. Culture gives power to persist. Culture brings productivity. Culture gives you resilience. Remember COVID? I'm glad it's behind us. But remember COVID? We'd never been there before. I never pastored a church that wasn't there before. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a strategy, but we had culture at Church on the Rock. We had core beliefs. It was the culture and the core beliefs that got us through, and we came out better as a Church on the Rock. Amen, somebody? So you need to know your culture at your house and your core beliefs and your values, and they need to be clear to your children and to your family. So with that in mind, let's get right into it. I think it's going to help you today. Church on the Rock is why we're here and the basic needs. We looked at it last week. We're not going to do it this week. You can go back to that service. We looked at the basic needs of St. Louis, and I went to AI last week, I told you, and I asked AI, what's the basic needs of St. Louis, Missouri? And up came those four needs we talked about last week. But here's where we got the name for our church. It's in Matthew 7, 24 through 28. And Kim and I, when we came to start this church in 1983, we were in a park and we were praying, God, what do you want us to name this new church we're going to plant? Because I want the name to reveal the mission. I want the name to reveal the culture and the core values. And sirs, I shared with you last week, I told you don't do this, but I just flopped my Bible open and it fell to that. Now, don't you do that, okay? But I just, my Bible just right there in that park at that picnic table, my Bible fell open to this, Matthew 7, 24 through 28. And this is a story of two builders, two foundations, and two different results. And the whole idea is build your house upon the right foundation. And the right foundation is the rock. That's where we got church on the rock. It is right here. So let's read through it. Then we'll come back and we'll bring out some principles. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So that would be a hearer and a doer of the word of God. A hearer and a doer of the Bible, scriptures. Not just a hearer, that's not enough. It really just stirs my spirit when I hear somebody say to me, well, I already knew that. We only act on what we believe. We only act on what we believe in the Word of God. And when I say I already heard that, then it's just mental assent. It's not until every day. I'm not practicing it every day. And here's a good golden nugget. We become what we consistently do every day. I'd write that down. You become what you consistently do every day. You become, it's called habits, what you do consistently every day. So notice he says that those who hear it and do it. So that would mean when you come to church on the rock, part of our culture is act on what you hear before you get in your car, truck, or van. Act on what you hear. In other words, when you come here, you're looking for principles from my teaching that you can put into practice. And when you do that, you get the God kind of results. So therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and do with them, so it's not enough to go to church, because going to church doesn't make me strong like sitting in McDonald's make me a Big Mac, right? You know, going to church doesn't make me strong like sitting in my garage make me a car. So I've got to be a hearer and a doer. I can't just go to church, sit in here, and scroll. Hallelujah. TV cameras are on you right now. Praise the Lord. I have to go, and I have to, he that hath an ear, let him hear. But I'm listening for what I can put into practice immediately. I'm not listening for what's wrong. I'm not listening for what's this, that, and the other. That's not perfect. There's no church perfect, right? When you and I came, it stopped being perfect. Okay? So therefore, whosoever heareth and hear these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise person who built their house. We're all building a house. We're all building a life. We're all building a house. We're all building a life. But the question is, what's the foundation? Is it on feelings? On other people's experiences? Is it on our past? You know, family, your faith doesn't work on your past. Your faith works on your present and your future. Well, that was worth writing down right there. Built your house upon the rock. That's where we got the name Church on the Rock. And the rain came, or storms. And many of you are in a storm today, and I've got a good word for you. But the rain came, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat on that house. But it fell not. Ooh, I like that. Unstoppable, unbreakable, right? Unmovable. Beat upon that house, lack, doubt, fear, layoff, rape, incest, loss, death, tragedy, persecution, opposition, offense, nothing moved that house. disappointment, hurt, accusation, lie, let go, fired. Nothing moved that house that was built upon the rock, church on the rock. So the big idea why I'm here for 41 years as a founding pastor is my job and why we're here and who we are, I've already answered. But what you're to get out of this church and the difference it makes is I'm to teach you how to have a relationship with the Word of God. That's it. That's my job description, is to teach you how to get the Word to work in your life. It's not enough for it to sit in your coffee table. It's not enough to sit in the back seat of your car. It's not enough for you to know it. It's not enough for you to hear it. I grew up in church hearing it. But you have to learn how to practice it, how to work it, how to work the Word, how to get it off the page in Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, all day Saturday. Get the Word of God to work in your life. So what I do every week is to teach you how to have a relationship that's healthy with the Word of God. Am I communicating? Boy, that's simple right there. Because a lot of people go to church the same way they go as the same way they leave. A lot of people go to church and do mass just to do their religious duty. A lot of people go to church because they have to, forced to, don't want to, ritual, routine, for a lot of different reasons. All the wrong reasons. The reason I should go to church is to hear and apply the Word of God and to get it to work in my marriage, my parenting, my career, my job, my relationships, my self-image, my aspirations, my ambitions, my dreams, my goals. Yeah. So what I try to do every week is my calling is to make the hard simple, is to make the difficult simple. I like to say it this way. After 41 years, I'm an explainer. So notice, this is where we got the name Church on the Rock. The storm came, but that house didn't move. That house didn't quit. That house didn't give up. That house didn't stop. Then it goes on in verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, now this is a second builder on a different foundation with different results. Okay? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, I go to church, I hear it, I agree with it, mental assent, I know it, but I don't practice it. I don't apply it. I don't do it. You'll be like the foolish person who built your house upon the sand, wrong foundation. Now notice, I'm going somewhere. This is going to help a lot of us. The same storm came. Storm came. I've counseled a lot of people in 41 years, and I've seen what destroyed one family built the other. What one family stopped church serving God caused the other family to be even more aggressive in their walk with God. I've seen people, I've been here 41 years, counseled a lot of people, that one tragedy makes this person bitter and it makes another person better. I think it's called perspective. Perspective, okay? So this person is an unwise builder, and they come to church, they love church, they hear the Word, they say amen, but they don't look what they can apply for themselves immediately in their life. We call that being a doer of the Word. And so, look, the storms came and beat upon that house, and it fell. Stopped going to church, serving, tithing, sharing, living for God, became an agnostic, an atheist. Mad at God, mad at church, mad at Christians, mad at preachers, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it. 2 days ago, someone was telling me the story of a very famous person that lives in Hollywood, and they grew up in church, and they were on fire Christian, and they became very wealthy, and God blessed them, and they got married, and they had a family, and then all of a sudden, his wife committed adultery. And so what did he do? He blamed God and said, God, I've gone to church all these years. I've been a giver. I've been a tither. I've worked in the church. I've been sold out for you. And this is how you pay me back, God? My wife commits. Well, it's getting quiet in this Methodist church here today. And this is how you pay me back, God? I've been in church, I served, I did this, I tithed, I gave, I've been sold out, and my wife committed adultery on me. God, why didn't you stop it? God, why didn't you keep it from happening? And because of that, God, you didn't do me right, I'm not doing you right, and he became an agnostic. What happened? Storms came, and his house was built upon the wrong foundation. It wasn't built on a rock. Now, I'm not judging, but all I know from Scripture that if it was built on a rock, he could have withstood adultery and learned from it and came out better and used his story to help other marriages. Can I have a witness at Church on the Rock today? How many people do you and I know, how many people do we know that was on fire for God? They were in church sitting on the front row, and then a storm came. God, I've been tithing forever, and God, I lost my job, losing my house. God, if you were really God, I wouldn't lose my house and lose my job. I've been a tither. Just for that, God, I don't believe in you anymore. I'm going to quit this church stuff, God stuff, Christianity stuff. You did me wrong, God. See, I just want you to know that's the wrong perspective, because God doesn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the booger man. That's the devil, right? And so that house fell. You know, 41 years ago, we had a storm. You know, our youngest son is 41, turned 41 a couple days ago, Stephen. And when we started this church in November, he was born in February. I had no insurance. We just planted this church. And he was born premature. Stephen, 41 years ago, storm. We left our family. We left our denomination. We had to give up our insurance, our retirement, everything to come and start this church. And we started it in November with 35 people. And in February, Stephen was born premature. And the doctor said, don't even worry about his birth certificate. He won't live throughout the night when he was born. Wow. And then I had to go in and tell his mother, my wife, Kim. And the doctor came in there and said, the baby that you just gave birth to, premature, can't breathe on his own, on a respirator. He won't make it through the night. Don't worry about the birth certificate tonight, folks. Don't worry about his name. That's what they told us. Don't worry about any of that because he's not going to live. Don't you know we could have said, God, what in the world are you doing, God? We left our denomination, we left our insurance plan, we left our retirement, we left our prestige, we left our family, they made fun of us, they ridiculed us, they said we were a cult to come and plant Church on the Rock, and God, our baby is dying? We could have gave up right there. Could have blamed God right now. I'm just saying only by the grace of God. But we could have, that storm could have knocked us over right there. That storm could have... We could have left the ministry and said, God, you're not good. You're not faithful. How could this happen? God, but how many people do you know? Storms are going to come. My job is to teach you how to stand in the storm. My job is to teach you how to have a relationship with the Word of God. Because my brother and sister, storms are coming. Storms are coming. They're coming to all of us. They come to good Christians and bad Christians. They come to sinner and saint. It rains on the just and the unjust. Did y'all hear that? Just because I'm a Christian, it's not going to be hunky-dory. This world is cursed. There's a real devil, and he's the God of this world. And so we have to, as believers, we have to realize that we're not going to build our foundation on an experience, on a feeling, on what happened to somebody else, on a tragedy, a letdown, a heartache, a death, a loss, a rape, an incest, an addiction, a divorce. We have to be stronger than that. We have to build our life on the Word of God. I have to have a relationship with, is it easy? No way. People who say being a Christian is being sissy and being a wimp, just try it for 30 days. Just be sold out all the way, a bold witness at work, at play, at school, in the neighborhood. Just be bold, a bold witness for 30 days and see what it takes to do that. Yeah. So notice that storms came to the wise person and the unwise. Storms came to the on fire, sold out Christian and the carnal Christian. Storms come to the sinner and the saint. We're not exempt from storms. Because we're in a broken, cursed world. because of Adam and Eve in the garden, right? So my job is to help you have a relationship with the Word of God. Because if we don't have a relationship with the Word, we can't have a relationship with the Word. Are you on the same frequency with me today? See, the Word, Jesus Christ, He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God, right? So we can't have I can't have a relationship with God if I don't have a relationship with His Word. That's why I want to go to a church that teaches the Bible. It's a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Not perfect, because we're here, but a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church. So storms come, problems come. Guess what? The closer you get to your destiny, the bigger your problems will be. Pastor, why'd you have to say that? I just love you so much. Amen. And problems, if I have the right perspective, can be good for us. This is not in your notes, but problems come to direct you. If you're taking notes, if I have the right perspective of problems and storms, they can direct you. Problems come to direct you. Number two, problems come to correct you. Correct you. You know, a lot of times problems come and we're off course and we make adjustments. So they come to direct us. Problems come to correct us. Problems come to protect us. Really? Yeah, I was listening to somebody the other day that they were talking about how their best friend worked in the towers, 9/11. And the morning that the towers came down, he went out to start his car and his car wouldn't start. Problems protected him. How many times have you heard about how you went through a stoplight last night and later on that night there was a wreck? Problems come to direct us, correct us, protect us, and number four, to perfect us. Problems perfect us. You see, I can't grow in a comfort zone. Hallelujah. I can't grow. You can't grow in a comfort zone. Last night we're doing CrossFit, and I'm deadlifting 200 pounds, and it didn't feel real good. It wasn't very comfortable. And as I'm deadlifting, y'all pray for me because I should be way ahead of that. I'm way below where I should really be. But I know that I can't grow in comfort. So it's got to hurt. No pain, no gain. So problems, if I have the right perspective, storms of life, we don't want them. We're not believing for them. We're hopefully not attracting them. But they're coming. And they're coming to the good, the bad, the ugly. They're coming to the wise builder and the unwise builder. They're coming to the one who comes to church, hears it, never applies it. And they're coming to those who hear it and do it and apply it and are on fire for God. Storms are coming. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a storm today. You ever felt like that? I felt like that. I felt like I was stuck in this season. I was stuck in the storm. I was stuck in this season. It was never going to change. Come on now, be honest. Have you ever felt like you were just stuck in a season? Can I have a witness in that? Six people, Lord, bless them, Lord, for their honesty. We've all been there, haven't we? Where we thought, wow. You know, I heard the story the other day of Mark Twain was walking with a friend, and it had been raining all day. And the friend looked at Mark Twain and said, will the rain ever stop? And Mark Twain looked at him and said, it always stops. What am I trying to tell you? Seasons always stop. Some are longer than others, but they're not eternal. The Bible says, this too shall pass. What you're in will stop. But we all have felt like that when the storm came and we're in the struggle and we're in the pain and we're in the loss and we're in the misunderstanding and we're in the relational conflict and we're in the shortage of money, more month than money. When we're in all of that and we feel stuck, what do you do when you feel stuck in a storm? Can I just give you just one little thought? This is even my notes. Start dreaming. True story. True story. There was this lady. I read this yesterday. I thought, wow, this is so good. I got to share it with y'all. There was a lady in 1990. And she was going from one city to another city on a train. And the train had to stop because of the things that were happening on the track down the road. And so she was stuck on this train for 4 hours. 4 hours. And so how did she respond to being stuck on a train? Did she go on Facebook? Did she go on Twitter? Did she go on X? What did she go on? Complain, gripe, yell, scream, cuss? No, she started writing. She started writing, and she began to write. She began to dream. I think her name was J.K. Rowling. Harry Potter? Now, I'm not for Harry Potter. I'm for God and the blood and the word. I'm not a proponent of Harry Potter, okay? But this is the lady who wrote Harry Potter while stuck on a train for 4 hours. The first movie grossed $1 billion. From then to now, several billions of dollars through all of the episodes and all of the series through Harry Potter. What happened? She is a billionaire today because she responded correctly when stuck on a train. Wherever you're at today, divorce, reconciliation, separation, wherever you're at today, without a job, in transition, can't be promoted. Wherever you're at today, whatever the psychiatrist, psychologist, or the doctor has said, the counselor, wherever you're at today, you may feel stuck. Well, while you're stuck in that storm, why don't you just start dreaming? Why don't you just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to impart into you your future? And that where you're at isn't always going to be where you're at. That the rain, it always stops. If I'm helping somebody, can you give the Lord a praise today? Woo! Now, let's read it from the Message translation, if we could. The Message translation. I like it in the Message translation. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Now, watch this, family. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living. When you and I become a hearer and a doer, when you and I understand that church is more than just coming, listening, have to, scrolling, can't wait to get out, when we understand that it's about life and death, heaven or hell, blessing or cursing, when we understand that we come to learn how to have a relationship with the Word of God and have the right relationship with the Word of God, it should change your standard of living. It should change your standard of living. You should be going from blessing to more blessing. And remember, between the blessings, there's storms. There's those seasons where you feel stuck. But because you're building your house on the rock, you're unmovable, you're unstoppable, you're unbreakable. Come on, somebody. Your standard of living, what you make, where you live, what you drive, what you do, how much you give, should be increasing if I'm a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. So notice that it increases your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. What words are you building your life on? Kim and I decided a long time ago, both of us was called the black sheep of our families. We love our families, but we were called the black sheep. We were told we'd never make it, never amount to anything. I was told I'd be dead by when I was 30. That's what I was told. What words have been spoken over your life? I decided I wasn't going to build my life on what they said. I was going to build my life on what he said. I wasn't going to build my life on what negative, critical, doubtful, defeated people were going to say over my life. I was going to build my life on what God's word says. I think one of our paraphrases, our culture here is, what does the word say? See, all the time I'm pounding into you. It doesn't matter what they say out there. It doesn't even matter what your family, your friend, your foe, your partner, your husband, your wife, your mom, or your dad says. What does he say? What does the word say? The word says you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You're God's child. You're the apple of God's eye. Born again, born to win. The word says you have a hope and you have a future. It's worth fighting for. That's what the word says. So the words that I speak to you, they're not incidental additions to your life. They're homeowner improvements for your standard of living. They're foundational words to build your life on. Watch, if you work them. There's where I get what I do. I'm an explainer. There's where I get what I do. Every week, 41 years at this church, is to teach people when they come how to have a relationship with the Word of God, so that it will work in your life and make a difference. But I've been here 41 years, and I've seen so many people, they start out right, but then a storm comes. Pastor, why did I lose my job? Why did they die? Why did they quit? Why did they go away? Why did he divorce me? Why did she have adultery? Why are my kids crazy? Why are they on drugs? You know, you can't build your life on your experiences. You have to build your life on what does the Word say? What does the Word of God say? You have to do that to get it to work in your life. You got to work it to work it, okay? You got to work the word. It's hard work being a winner. It's hard work being an overcomer. What you do consistently is what you become. What you do consistently in the gym, you become healthy. Consistently with your nutrition, you become healthy. Consistently in the Word of God, you become healthy. Spiritual maturity comes through practice. Spiritual maturity comes through practice. If you work these words in your life, boy, I'm preaching way too long today. Praise the Lord. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built your house on the solid rock.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.